The subject is actually the scripture. Arise, shine. Now say to your neighbor, arise, shine. Now you see, the tone that you use, the voice that you used, is not the voice that God used when he was talking to Israel to arise, shine, because it was the words arise, shine are in the imperative. Imperative meaning that it is very, very important. It is critical, it's crucial, it's absolutely necessary that what was said to Israel or Jerusalem would have, listen to this, a corresponding response. A corresponding response is if God tells you to raise up your hands, you don't put your hands down, you raise up your hands. And so many times we Christians have a tendency of living a life that does not really reflect what we are being told to do. Now, I want to give you just a brief background of what is happening here. Jerusalem, Israel, they've been in very, very inconsistent with their loyalty and the commitment that they had for God. Now, they are not the only ones, because it is really the tendency or the propensity of every human being to do their own thing. And even though God delivered Israel from Egypt and assigned to them a task and said he was going to bless them if they would follow his instructions, there was a constant termination of the peace and the things that God said he was going to do for them. So there was a consistent going into captivity, and then God would redeem them. The book of Judges is all about that. Israel will sin. They will pray to God that God will help them. God will deliver them. They'll come to the land, prosper a little bit, but then they will continue to sin. So it was something that was consistently happening. And this time, they've been taken into captivity. And God was given a prophecy. God was speaking to the land of Jerusalem. He was speaking to their land that something special was going to happen. He says, arise, shine, for your light has come. Amen, saints. Arise, shine, for your light has come. In other words, Israel didn't have the capacity or the ability to be illuminated until the coming of the light. Something has happened. And what has happened is something that is very common to all of us humans. What happens in our lives is that we make plans, sometimes with God and other times not with God, and we pray and ask God to bless us. And then we start on a journey that we are going to reach a destination. And somewhere between the initiation and the destination, something happens where somebody's life is taken. Like in this case, Lawrence Abuchulam and my wife and maybe your family members. And we said we were going to be impactful to the world. And then something happens and it terminates. And when something happens like that, it affects you so powerfully. It does something to your whole frame of mind and even your purpose for existence. You wonder if God is with you. Now, Jerusalem has been crushed, and Jerusalem has been brought into subjectivity, has been brought into bondage. And God looks at Jerusalem and says to Jerusalem, arise, shine, for your light has come. Now, where was this city or this country or these people? In olden times, in biblical times, when somebody is going through a very painful experience, they would sit on the ground. They would sit on the ground. Pardon me to say this. Everybody has their way of mourning. But Africans, When we mourn, it's at another level. You get what I'm saying? When I came to America, I was shocked. 34 years ago when I came here, I was shocked. You go to a funeral, and just a few people are doing this. And others are laughing. And I was saying to myself, well, how come these people don't mourn like we mourn back home? Because back home, they'll start from the church. And people, they'll be holding them. I'll go with you. I'll go with you. I'll go with you. I'll go with you. And then they get to the cemetery and they don't go with them. They come back home. I'll go with you. There are all kinds of theatricals, drama involving, hey, somebody passes. Now, to these people, however, the way they demonstrated their grief is by sitting on the ground and putting ashes on them. Sometimes they will wear a sackcloth and they get into this posture of grief and mourning, which ultimately denotes a depression and a humiliation. Can you imagine a woman, sometimes a man, the sole breadwinner of the home is gone? What do you think is going to be that person's response to the situations of life? It's like their life is hopeless. And sometimes our African culture, it is not just restricted or relegated to certain parts. It happens all the time, okay? When you become a widow, they take the money from you. Sometimes they take the children from you. They take everything from you. Do I have a witness in the house? Do I have a witness in the house? By the way, one of the things I'm going to say to you, which I believe Larry was a very wise man in doing, he made a will. He made a will and put stuff into the wife's hand because it costs a lot of money for children to go to college. Amen, saints. You guys are not happy, are you? But it's important that you make a will. I've not made a will yet. She keeps telling me, make a will, make a will, make a will, make a will. When I get back, I'm going to make my will. Because I don't want anybody come chop my money. Anybody come chop my money. No, it's not going to happen. So they are humiliated, they are depressed, and they sit down. And guess what? There comes the voice of God, and God speaks into their depression. God speaks into their humiliation. God speaks into their grief, and God says to them, arise, shine, for your light has come. May God speak into your calamity, your tragedy, your depression, your humiliation, anything that you're going through that seems overwhelmingly stronger than you, may God speak his word into that situation so that you can have a revival, both inward and outward revival, to live your life. Because God, if he allows you to live and not die, he has a purpose and a reason for allowing you to live. Say with me, I'm here for a purpose. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. And then it goes into something that is quite incredible. It says, see, for behold, that word behold means see, look. Look, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you. Now, let me read that one more time. Because I believe if you get that, you stand up on your chairs and start dancing. Don't do that. But it says, behold, darkness will do what? Darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. Now, God is a personal God. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God is a personal God. You can call the name of God and put your name there. That is, if you have a relationship with him. He says this, there's going to be universal darkness, thick darkness. Darkness represents sorrow. Darkness represents the activities of the enemy. Darkness represents death. Darkness represents wickedness. He's saying that there's going to be a universal wickedness, death, and all kinds of stuff that will come upon the earth. But then he says this, but as for you, the Lord will rise over you. The Lord is going to rise over your family name, irrespective of what comes all around you. He has a special purpose, intention, plan. He wants to do something so uniquely with your life that he's saying to you, I have a purpose. And my purpose, one of the reasons we serve God, is that God is a God who saves us, who protects us, who does what? Provides for us. One of the things that you need to get to understand is this. There's a theological word that is used. It's called providence. And providence, this is what it is the continuous activity of God to make sure that everything and anything that happens to you will eventually result in his glory. I'm going to run that by you one more time. I said providence is the continuous activity. The secular meaning of providence is making provisions for the future. Now, the theological meaning of providence is the continuous activities of God that works through everything that you are going through in life as his child. And it's not just the good, but the good, bad, and ugly. Now, you know what the scripture says, that we know that all things work together for the good of what? To those who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ. So this is it. Providence is that. And please, when you get this, I'm not saying that you will not be sad when bad things happen, but you will quickly recover from that sadness. You will rapidly recover from that sadness. And providence is God's continuous activity. In other words, whatever is happening in your life, God is in the midst of this. No matter how negative it is, God is in the midst of it. And God is also working his purpose, his plan, his intentions within the negativity that is taking place in your life to bring about his glory. Arise, shine, darkness over everywhere. But it's not going to touch you. There used to be a musician a long time ago when I came to America. His name, a secular musician. His name was MC Hammer. And MC Hammer has a song that can't touch this. Can't touch this. Can't touch this. Huh? So, guess what? There is an interruption. There is something dark that happens. And it can rapidly cause you to decline into a place of depression and worry and concerns. And the Lord says, I'm going to shine over you. Shine over you. Now, one of the things that we don't understand is this. When God shines over us, God shines over us not just for our personal benefit. Amen, saints? When God shines over you, now human beings, our preoccupation with ourselves, our tendencies to just think about ourselves, always, you know, we go to church and say, God bless me, bless me. What about the person next to you? God bless me, help me, God help me. What about the person next to you? So when you understand that the church is the body of Christ and we have to care for one another, it's not just God bless me, but God bless us. Amen? But when God blesses us, it is not for us. I want to say that again. When God blesses us, it is not for us. God blesses us always for his glory. I want to show you what comes with the light that comes upon us. Something comes. Come with me to the same chapter and verse 3. It says, the Gentiles shall come to your light and kings to the brightness of your rising. When you rise, God is going to cause other people to rise because you have risen. God will cause other people to do what? To rise because you have risen. I like the African mentality. Pardon me. If you're an American, please, I'm not. I know you are here. But I like the African mentality. One of the members of the family struggles and gets a breakthrough, gets a visa. Now, when you get a visa in Africa, you are not the only one who rejoices. So the whole family. Unless those who are wicked and don't want you to get. But if you get a visa in your family, everybody's rejoicing. Why do you think they're rejoicing? They're rejoicing because if you are with them in that village or that locality, with the economy the way it is within the circles of friendship and family member that you have, if you are with them, nothing is going to happen. But you are getting a visa to go to America. You know, if you get a visa to go to some country where people have not heard about, it's a big deal. America! Hey. Only Jesus can save. Only Jesus can say hallelujah. Hey! That is salvation, though. Because they know, as you have risen, if you are connected to them, you will come to America, you'll get 5 jobs. 5 jobs. Just be sending money home like that. He says that the Gentiles shall come to your light and the kings to the brightness of your rising. When you arise, other people do what? If you have risen and nobody's benefiting from your ascension, then there's something wrong. You are selfish and preoccupied with everything about yourself. And, you know, I do understand, you know, that sometimes there's a deluge. In other words, there's a constant flowing of needs. Your cousins, fathers, uncles, wife, sister. I do understand that. Amen, saints. Everybody's calling. Then he says, lift up your eyes all around, verse 4, and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Everything is, you become magnetic. Everybody is coming to you because God has what? Caused you to arise and he has shone a spotlight upon your life. Amen, saints. Lift up your eyes all around. See, they all gather together. I was counting how many the word come is in this chapter. A lot of them. They all get together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar. I want to make this declaration. Any of you in this church or your family's children who have gone astray and are not responding appropriately to life and to Jesus and to heaven, I pray in the name of Jesus that all of your sons and daughters will come back because of the light of Jesus Christ upon your life. Amen. It says, your sons who shall come and your daughters shall be nourished at your side. Shine. And I say, it says, then you will see and become radiant. Somebody say the word radiant with me. You see and become what? What is radiance? It's talking about an illumination. It's talking about, when it talks about radiance, it's talking about light that comes from within, that makes you cheerful, that makes you happy. Radiance is that you become lustrous, you become brilliant. Do you know there are people, when you see them, you just are happy for seeing them because they radiate, they are light, they have life in themselves, and they distribute that light to everybody. That word, it says, you will see what God is doing and you are going to become what? Radiant. The actual meaning of that word is that you will flow like a river. You will flow. There's nothing that is going to restrict your flowing. The Bible says a righteous man who, Proverbs 25, 26, a righteous man who falters in the sight of the wicked is like murky springs and polluted water. But when there is no pollution, when there is freedom because of the glow and the presence and the power and the eyes of God upon your life, you become buoyant. You become buoyant. You become animated. You become cheerful. You have an upbeat spirit. You see, the opposite of that is to be dull. There are few scriptures in the Bible that addresses a broken spirit. Say broken spirit. Okay, some of you have started sleeping. That's why the volume went down. If you're sleeping, begin to hit yourself. So wake up, listen to this. Broken spirit is a spirit that causes dullness. Every time you are going through something in life, the possibility exists, if it is negative, that it can dwindle your excitement. It can affect your effervescence. Effervescence speaks about a boiling, exciting spirit. Let me read these three scriptures and you can apply that to your life. It says in the book of Proverbs 18, verse 14, the spirit of a man will sustain him even in sickness. But who can bear a broken spirit? Who can bear an oppressed spirit? Who can bear a spirit that is being squeezed? Nobody. Because even in sickness, if you have a strong spirit, you will be kept through it. You will not just fall apart. He says, you will see what is going to happen and you're going to be radiant. You will shine. Proverbs 15 and verse 13 says, a merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. A merry heart, that's what gives a cheerful what? Countenance. But by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. We have to learn to elevate God above everything in our lives. We have to learn to elevate God above our marriage, above our jobs. Sometimes those have the priority, and we pay God some seasonal visits. But we have to elevate God above everything, because if we do, our spirits will be strong and encouraged even in difficult conditions of our life. Proverbs 17:22 says, a merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. There is a premature osteoporosis. Osteoporosis, where your bones become brittle and begins to break because you don't have a cheerful heart. Do you know what the scriptures are saying to you here? You can take all the vitamins you want to take. You can go to the gym, bum, boom, bum, boom, boom, bum. Biceps, quads, and do everything that you want to do, six packs, abdominal wall kind, whatever you want to do. If your spirit is weak, even if God tells you to arise, you will not arise. Amen. You know, my wife told me a story. We share stories about our deceased, and I'm very thankful for that, because the very fact that she gets married, she should never forget Larry. Never. Never. There are pictures of Larry in our house in certain strategic places. When I go to that room, I see it. And I look at him and I say, oh, he kind of looks like the father. I see some pictures of Larry and Adesi when I go into her room, and we begin to reminisce. I said, man, your father really loved you. Never. Some other man will be depressed about that, because I was dating a woman who was depressed. Anytime I mention my deceased wife's name, you should never forget. She told me a story that when he finally left, the pastor Chinedu came to the house, and she was saying, I want to die. I want to die. Listen, you are not the only person who wanted to die. I wanted to die too. Hey, when my wife passed, I wanted to die. I said, Lord, I need to, how can I live life again? What is this life? Eh? This woman who the family says, she went to Africa for a Rockefeller Foundation scholarship from Harvard. I was in Bible school in Benin City. She came and she uprooted me. She brought salvation to me and my family by bringing me to America. Only Jesus can save like that. You thought it was a small deliverance. If you know where I came from, that was massive deliverance. It brought me here. And then she passes. No, I don't want to live again. I don't want to live. But I'm saying to you today, you must live no matter what comes your way, because if you elevate your spouse to the place where only God should be, if you elevate your job, if you elevate your children, whatever is earthly, if you elevate it to a place where only God should be, then it's idol worship. And you don't want to live when it's taken away from you. Are you with me, saints? Are you with me, saints? Let me get into this with you. We have been punked. You understand the terminology, being punked? We have been deceived. We were told that we should go to school, get a good education, get a good job, buy a nice house, drive nice cars, and because that's the pressure of society, what mostly happens is people who have not even been to school, they want to get that, and they will do anything to get that. They'll use all kinds of, you know, dirty means to get it, because that's what society tells us. But I want to say this to you. I love you. I want to say this to you. I have grown by the grace of God to understand this, that anything that you met here on this earth is not as valuable as your life. You didn't get that. Anything that you meet here on earth. You know, my wife showed me a picture of Robert Mugabe. He was dead, and they've covered him up. And my wife says, he's dead. I said, but what did you expect? He thought he was going to live forever. But you don't live forever. The last time I was here, I had not left my beard. There was no white thing there. Check me out now. Mm-hmm. What is this saying? This is saying, yeah, I get so disappointed sometimes when I think about the day I will die. I say, am I going to die? Would I die one day? Hey, it's going to be difficult when I die. But I'm reasoning like a human being. Is that right? So, am I going to die? Will I die? Hey, what will happen to me when I die? I know I'm saved and all of that, but am I going to die? This sweet, sweet, sweet Boston. Eh? This sweet woman that Larry left for me. Eh? Am I going to die one day? Lord, have mercy on me. Anything that you met on earth, house, cars, whatever it is, will not last, including yourself. We will not last. We will get out of here. But we have to learn to elevate God. Some of us, our worldview does not include God. We believe in the theory of relativism. We say, if it is good for you, do it all. You go to church, you love God, it's good for you. Hey, enjoy it. As for me, no. It happened by an accident. There was some kind of molecular confusion and I showed up. I'm an accident. You'll be surprised to know that there is a purpose, significance behind your design. The peculiarity of your constitution, the way God has framed you, is quite unique. It's not like every other person. You have significance. Some of you say, I'm not going to church. Nobody will miss me. Who told you that? Pastor misses you. I miss the people who don't come to church. It is important you understand that your radiance should come from your connection to the Lord Jesus Christ and not from any earthly possession or position or zip code. Now, some of us have the opportunity to live in certain zip codes. So our significance and value is tied up to our zip code, our position at work, our possessions. Let me say this to you. Just like Robert Mugabe, who stole millions and millions and close to billions of dollars, is leaving everything to go. You and I came naked and unashamed, and we will live the same way too. I want to end by saying the best decision you can make for your life is to say, I want to discover this God who made me. There's been a lot of religious confusion happening where people organize church and stuff and all kinds of things happen which is not in alignment, it's not in conformity. There's no godliness. Because you see, godliness is the reverential attitude that leads to a conduct well-pleasing to God. Let me say that again. Godliness is what? The reverential attitude that leads to a conduct well-pleasing to God. So you cannot say, I go to church and there is no evidence of Jesus in your character, in your nature, in your behavior. There is no godliness. Some of you people fear you because you intimidate them. God has to change us. And I will preach like 7 sermons out of that chapter, but let me save you because I have to go back to Boston. I want to say to you, if you have not connected to Jesus Christ, you have been totally disappointed by religion. Or you go to church where they teach the truth, and yet you are very inconsistent. You are doing it haphazardly, casually, usually. I want to encourage you that today you can make a decision to have a fresh start with God.